Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
Number 23.
Yes, coming at you live.
Yes.
Ish.
Ish. Not really.
Mm.
Pre-recorded.
Need some of that water again.
Well, you know, stay hydrated.
Water, salt, and that girl's name. Three things I need to stay alive.
To live.
To live. Whatever.
Yeah, and her name. And her name. It's, hey, look.
Was it my part? I don't care. Paddington's pepperoni double pep pizza.
Oh, so what Scott is now munching into the microphone is, my God, is the Paddington's...
Let's see a cat do this.
Oh, my God. It's a Paddington's pizza, which is, if you're from the Salem area, a very, very small local chain. I think there's like two, maybe? Yeah. And they serve... just the best pizza. It's just so damn good. It is the pizza equivalent of a gut bomb burger that is just so fucking tasty. And they have a Mexican pizza. I don't dig on Mexican pizza. Shredded lettuce on a pizza, right? Yeah, theirs is awesome.
Yeah.
Because what they do, it's called the Bandito. So first of all, they have this like super thin crust that's pre-made. And then they lay it down. They do half salsa, half tomato sauce.
Pre-made by them, though.
Pre-made by them, yeah, yeah. They do a half salsa, half tomato sauce base, some Colby Jack cheese, and some taco meat.
Mm.
They bake that, then they put on fresh Roma tomatoes. And then here's the kicker. A layer of crunched up Doritos.
Mm.
And when they're available, it's the taco flavor, like the old school... orange and or yellowish and brown bag taco flavor. Yep. They brought them back, and so now the Bandito has them again. And you get a bottle of like hot sauce, and it's fucking good pizza. All their pizza is good though, all of it. Like if you're in Salem, go to Paddington's, get a pie, you'll enjoy it.
It's the former owner of Pietro's.
Pietro's, who knew? He did, because
he sold the Pietro's to a big company.
Right.
It got too big for him. They wanted to expand. He's like, fine. And then did Paddington's, and it was in North Salem for the longest time. That was the only one.
Right.
And then they've got one now by my dad's house. So
The one I went to is the one right off the freeway.
South Commercial?
Sounds right, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it's the one by my house. So you were very close to my house.
Yeah, yeah. It was we drove up from Lebanon, Oregon.
Lebanon.
Lebanon is where you get bombed. Lebanon is where you get sheep fuckers. You know, people who fuck sheep, Scott.
Yes, I'm familiar.
Yeah. Okay.
I had a girlfriend there once.
You had a goat friend?
What? Goat friend.
Goat friend. It's like they say, it's a slippery slope, because it's easier to get to the sheep that way.
Ooh, yeah. Well, that's why cowboys wear cowboy boots. Some place to put the hind legs.
Ah.
Keeps them from getting away.
That's why Scotsmen wear kilts.
Really builds up the upper thigh.
It's true. The wool burns, though. Ugh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Not good.
All right, we should probably take this to a lighter place.
Sure.
A fluffier one. Lanolin.
Don't want to fleece anyone.
Oh, sheer genius, this podcast. What are you doing? Why do you screw with things while we're recording the podcast? You're just tempting fate, Scott.
I know.
Plugging in your phone, wiping off your mouse.
Well, because I don't like that.
Neither of those are euphemisms, and
no,
both of those are euphemisms. Well.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay. All right. Good. I'm glad that you're... I'm glad that you got your...
I was getting the evil blink from the mouse
because
the little connector was dirty.
Yeah, I hate the evil blink.
Okay, well, that was a good ramp up into this delightful episode.
A slippery slope up.
Slippery slope, yes.
So
new title, Slippery Slope.
New title, indeed.
Episode 23, Slippery Slope.
Sloppery Sloop. Better a slippery slope than a slippery sheep. That's all I'm saying.
Yep, exactly. Because in that case, the sheep's wanting it.
That's why you wear Velcro gloves, my friend.
Hook and loop.
Oh, sorry, Velcro is a trademark. I forgot.
Yes, while wearing your red, yellow, and orange beanie cap with ear warmers.
Right, right.
Because it can't be a...
Cunning as it may be.
Yes.
Right. So, should we dive into questions, or should we talk a little bit about... So, my day was interesting. I started at Amazon today.
Woohoo!
That's about all I can say, because I'm NDA'd to shit. Which is good.
It's
a good
really?
Thing. Oh, yeah, of course. It's.
We can't talk about work now?
No. Thank Christ, right?
Wow.
Yeah. Because it would be
boring. Now I want to know.
It would be boring as shit. Well, I installed the Java SDK, and that was a lot of fun. And yeah, I mean, we... though I think there's a Galaga game somewhere on the floor. I need to find it.
Yeah.
Because... Fucking Galaga. Motherfucking Galaga's awesome.
I think we played that at PAX.
Oh, cool.
We played the superhero, the Spider-Man game, where you're Spider-Man, Hawkeye.
Not Ultimate Alliance. No, is it Ultimate Alliance?
Submariner. Could be.
Sounds like. Can't oh, wait, remember. Was it the MMO, or was it the...
No, it's the four-person console.
Yeah, yeah, that's coin-op. That's Ultimate Alliance.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah. So. Me, Keeter, Trin, and Connor.
Played. Keeter, Connor, Trin, and I.
Yes, Keeter, Connor, Trin, and I.
Keeter, Connor, Trin, and I.
Keeter, Connor, Trin, and I. And then Brad and I played Robotron 2084.
Sounds like a fake element. Keeter, Connor, Trin, and I. Oh, yeah. What's that made out of? Keeter, Connor, Trin, and I?
Or a star cluster.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's like we travel to
Alpha Centauri.
I was glad you asked it. Trin, Connor, Trin, and I lost it. I forgot what it
Keeter,
was.
Keeter, Connor, Trin, and I.
Keeter, Connor, Trin, and I. We found the Keeter, Connor, Trin, and aliens. And I fucked all of them. They look like sheep.
Where does the sheep go?
No.
Blub, blub.
Blub, blub. No, that was the fish. We'll get to this later.
Yeah.
We'll get to this later.
Just
Greg,
a teaser.
Or Greg, Gordon, and Seth.
Seth, yes.
We'll get to this later, you bastards. So, yeah, that was my day. And then this weekend passed. I did a short film, DP'd a short film with the Brian of Lewis, the Wonder of Russell, and
the Coronado
of Lisa. Lisa. Yeah, yes.
With the Downing of Todd.
So Downing. The Downing of Todd.
Yeah.
It sounds like a really sad movie about just putting a guy out of his misery. The Downing of Todd.
The Downing of Todd.
Oh, poor Todd.
And the Salyer of Landon.
Yes. Yes. He was our...
Or Landon of Salyer.
Landon of... whatever. Sir Landon of Salyer.
Yes. Who I will be working with again shortly on The Darker Path.
Right. Which is, I was going to say, on the feature. It's a... Yeah, it was really cool working with all those folks.
Yeah.
A lot of folks to thank. There's the Gore sisters were there. They were awesome. We had...
Carly Hill.
Hmm?
Carly Hill.
Yeah, Carly Hill. Jason, I can never remember his last name, the sound guy. I think it's Jason. I could look it up.
You could.
I always forget his name. I feel really bad about that. But I forget a lot of names.
Yeah, me too. I wasn't even there.
Andrew Marnick.
Yes, Andrew was there.
Yeah. And then, of course, Todd's daughter, who I don't want to name just because of age.
Yes.
So, but she was an awesome AC for us.
Cool.
So.
Yeah, I'm really sorry I wasn't there.
You had a good reason.
I did.
Good reason. So.
Should we delve into it?
Give him a little. Give him a little.
Okay, yeah.
If you guys have not heard... I'll let Scott explain what was going on.
Oh, that give him a little. I thought you might give him a little time, but now
no, just give him a little. Passed. You can just you can just explain what's going on.
So when I kind of fell off the Facebook pages for a while and put sort of a cryptic note out on the day that Brian Christian and I were shooting up in Canada for Standard Action. Some of you were aware that my mom was having some issues, and much to everyone's shock, she passed away. So I've been working through that for the last couple of weeks, but I've come out on the other side, and Friday was her memorial service, which was wonderfully and beautifully attended by much of my family. My cousins came down from Bellingham and Alaska. My aunt and uncle were there. My second cousins, Jan and Carrie, my sister, myself, my dad, and about 100 to 150 people. It was really, it was very moving. Most of you don't know my mom, but she touched a lot more people than I was aware of, and it was really beautiful to see. A couple friends from college and high school came, and a bunch of my mom's friends from work, my dad's friends, some high up in the political side of things in Oregon, and got a handwritten note from the governor of Oregon. Because wow. My dad worked in that office for a while after he retired as state forester for 16 years in Oregon. So, yeah, that's where I was. That's what I was doing. And I'm back amongst the living. For those of you who were aware and sent me lovely texts and emails over the last couple of weeks, thank you so much. They really mean a lot to me. And for those of you who didn't know, yeah, I was just kind of keeping things private while all that was going on. So there it is. And I think I'm fine. Andy hasn't looked at me like I'm going to pass out or anything. So I think I'm,
well,
think I'm okay.
I don't think the roofies have hit yet. So
I know. People talk to me on the phone, keep saying, "You're just in shock." I'm like, "Eh, no, I'm just driving. Yeah. I'm a little distracted."
Maybe it's an age thing, but we can do that. Just shut everything off and just focus on. That's why people drive.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Oh, yeah. So that was that.
Yeah.
And that was the weekend. What did you do last week? During the week. Since the last podcast.
During the week, what did I do? I was working a lot on getting a house.
Yeah.
Which in West Seattle.
Neighbor.
Yeah, our inspection is tomorrow.
Sweet.
So if you guys are in town and friends of the podcast, we'll probably have you over for a little housewarming because, you know, why the fuck not, right?
Right.
So don't get all creepy stalker. Just,
you know. A lot of Jerf come over from...
Yeah, sure.
From
Sweeterland.
Yeah. I was going to say the... Yeah, Svetsk. Thanks for saying that because I was going to say the nether regions and I didn't mean it to be... The nether regions. I meant like the Netherlands area, and I don't know if there's actually. I'm gonna shut up now.
Bruges,
in Bruges.
So alcoves.
And I last week.
You last week.
Got to go out with Tony Becerra.
Oh, was he a nice date?
He was.
Okay.
It was a lovely, lovely date.
Wonderful.
Cornelia Moore.
Corey Moore.
And some Hollywood hack named Billy Zane.
Is it okay to say that?
I can say that. I just can't post pictures about it.
Oh.
Because he, wisely, controls all publication of his image.
That's really smart.
So I can say...
Listen to your pal Billy Zane, Scott. Start controlling your image.
I know.
Because I'm posting shit all the time, and it's not flattering.
Anyway,
there was that air quotes Photoshop of you.
Yes.
Yeah.
There was. So I can't post the awesome picture. I can show you. So if you want to stop by and see it on my phone, I can show you and prove that I was with Billy Zane. But it was awesome. He was a really swell guy.
Mm-hmm.
Carol Roscoe was also shooting that day.
He was a right good feller.
And it was hilarious because we were all at the dining for breakfast. Mm-hmm. We got there early, and I saw his back. And the thing is, you don't talk to you know, the really famous talent. There's a hierarchy. You can talk to those below you, but you don't initiate contact with those above you.
Right.
So I saw Carol, and I walked up, and I said, "Why is I living?" Because we were in eastern-ish Washington area. Mm-hmm. Can't disclose the location.
Eastern Washington, or as I like to call it, Northwest Arkansas.
Yes.
Yeah.
Little itty-bitty town, one drugstore.
Sell one drug, Matt.
So, no. They're a pharmacy, so they sell no tobacco products, and I needed to find some Corey wanted me to be on the stoop spitting.
Right, right.
Ended up using jerky. It was
now that's
awesome.
Not that is not a euphemism.
That is not a euphemism. Okay. No.
Later that night, ended jerky. Up using jerky.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so I saw Carol and I says, "Why is I live and breathe if it isn't Miss Carol Roscoe?" She turned around, gave me a hug, and apparently she was sort of in the midst of kind of communicating with Billy.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw that and just turned around, "Hi, I'm Billy." And then it was like, "Oh, hey, all right, the gloves are off. Let's go."
Did he introduce his eyebrows separately?
No.
Mm.
But I believe that they're in the Teamsters Union. They're not a part of SAG.
Right.
AFTRA.
No, they are the only thing they are not is SAG.
Yeah.
Those things are perky. He's got perky eyebrows. Like Madonna perky.
1980s Madonna or 90s Madonna perky?
Either. I mean, she's paid a lot to keep them that way, but.
Well,
definitely
there was 80s, the cone.
80s cones. Yeah. Okay. That's where I was going with that. Yeah.
Because those are perky.
Like a surgeon.
Yeah. Perky. Like a surgeon.
Or perky. Like a virgin. Sorry. I liked Weird Al a lot.
I do.
I didn't listen to any Madonna.
No.
Not until Reservoir
All the
Dogs.
Madonna I learned was, and Michael Jackson was through Weird Al.
Yeah. Yeah, it was Quentin Tarantino for me. And then to a lesser extent, Guy Ritchie. But I just feel like he was sharing his pain.
Yes.
Yeah. So, should we get to questions?
We can.
Let's
yes.
do that.
Have we ramped up everything that...
Yeah, I think so.
It was kind of an
it was
an eventful but not eventful week.
It was it was fucking busy. I mean, buying a house is stupid. I mean, it's just stupid. It is stupid.
Yeah.
And there was other stuff. I visited my kids the weekend prior.
Right.
I had a lot of stuff to finish up before I started. And then I got to work today and I have to say, I mean, it's a little bit of a shock going from your own hours essentially to suddenly being back into a 9-to-5.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of why I want to get to questions so I can get home and get to sleep.
Oh,
right. Yeah.
In that case,
I will fucking take a dump in your shoes. The good ones too.
No.
Yeah. Those fucking waiters.
I want to see you get into those boots.
I got a good aim.
Chris Piazzo.
Hey, it is a Piazza.
Has two questions. Well, one question for two people. For two people. He says, "Andy, is there a story behind your scorpion tattoo by your ear?"
Yes. Oh, you want me to tell the story?
Yeah. Are you?
Have we told this story?
Are you Cholo?
I am a Cholo. I killed a guy.
Okay.
Once, a lot of times.
I don't think we've told the story. We've talked about the cover-up that...
Well, I know that I've told the story on Clinically Inane. So I could just say, oh, go listen to Clinically Inane, but... All right, I'll tell it again.
Yeah, so, because I don't want to send people away from our podcast.
Don't go away. Stay. No. Sit down. Pull up a chair. I'll light a nice crackling fire, and it's story time with Uncle Dan. Andy. I forgot my name for a minute.
Uncle Dan Andy.
Uncle Dan Andy. I am Jim Dandy. So.
Oh, yeah.
There was a... Nice. Very nice.
For Mike.
We already ate pizza in his ear.
I know.
So.
But a cat could make that sound somehow.
That's true. The story is my ex-wife was going to get a tattoo. Not at the time, we were not. That would be weird to go with your ex-wife to get a tattoo.
Right.
But at the time, she was my current wife. High voltage. No. Raisins? I don't know where to go with this. Currents. So anyway, she went to get a tattoo. And we had friends who were kind of, you know, snooty patootie, a little bit about tattoos. Mm. And we trusted them. And, you know, this was not, I just want to make it absolutely clear that this particular instance has nothing to do with that trust, because the tattoo artist they recommended is actually incredibly good. Her name is Vivine, and she has a shop down in Pike. She's a world-renowned tattoo artist, does no borders. She's a borderless tattoo artist.
Are you kidding me? That's who your tattoo artist was?
No, that's the problem. Oh. That's not who my tattoo artist was. We went for Vivine. She was not available. Her understudy, Doug, was. So,
oh
yeah, when you go to Vivine's tattoos and there's a guy there and he's like, "Hi, I'm Doug," you know that's a problem.
Yeah,
I've heard he is no longer working in the Seattle area, so that's fine. So anyway, he did my Tracy's tattoo, mm-hmm. and to his credit, I mean, it looked okay.
What was it?
It was a butterfly landing on a flower. He drug the needle a little bit, so she had some like raised skin, and it's kind of like he wasn't the best, you know. And then he did a tattoo on our friend Kristen, and that one actually looked really good. It was a flower on her foot. Wait, was this one on the back? I think this was the one on the back, and I don't remember what it was. Well, anyway, he did another tattoo. There's a reason I don't remember. All right, I wasn't drunk. I had the flu, and I didn't know it. So I walked in feeling fine, and over the course of the 3 hours they were there getting tattooed, my fever jumped up to 104.
Wow.
I became delirious. Doug, asked me, "Hey, man, you want to get a tattoo?" And I said, "Yeah, let's do that, daddy-o." And he's like, "What do you want?" And I'm like, "I want a scorpion on my neck." And he said, okay, instead of going, "You know what? You feel like you've got 104 degree fever. Get out of my chair." He said, okay.
Mm.
Like a Doug.
Yes.
So.
Who apparently is Wolfman Jack.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I want to give you a tattoo, brother. So that's the story behind my. And then I just didn't get it removed. I've considered it since. I mean, I don't know. I'm on the fence. I like it. Like as a person guy,
mm-hmm.
but it limits stuff you can do, like on film and stuff a little bit.
No, because they covered it up fine.
Yeah, they covered it up. That's true. I mean,
Johnny Depp has a butt ton of them.
I've had I have Johnny Depp's butt on my other neck.
Oh,
my other neck. Right. What the fuck is another? I'm tired, by the way.
You mean your other chin?
I meant my other. Whoa, buddy. Thanks, Dick. Why don't you turn the other cheek?
Oh. No. Because then you'll think I'm a sheep.
Kick you right in the depths of your butt. Yeah. So that's the story behind the stupid scorpion on my neck. Yeah. Oh, and right at that time, Red versus Blue had just hit pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a PSA about shitty tattoos. And one of them... Sorry, Seth. You're going to have to find this. One of them was... he got a tattoo on his neck. His neck in plain sight where anybody can see it. And so I got that a couple of times.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. It's like, yeah.
Yeah. That's
the band tattoo. Any band tattoo. That was one of the other ones. Pretty. Oh. It's funny. You'll see it. Machinima. Go fig.
Cool.
So, Scott, your half of the question
is, do I have any tattoos and what is the story behind them? I do. I actually have a few tattoos, and most people don't know that because I didn't put them on my neck. Although,
in plain sight.
Although,
where everybody can see.
Having seen yours, I kind of want to put one on my neck.
Yeah.
I won't lie. Looks pretty tough.
Mm.
I wouldn't fuck with you.
That's the problem right there.
Yeah. Okay. So, the story of the tattoos. So, out of order. Going with the most visible first is on my left calf.
All right.
I have Elvish, which says harp player, because it was the closest Nathan could find for me on a moment's notice for bard. And the reason is I had a friend who had an independent tattoo artist who came out after we shot Darkness Rising.
Mm-hmm.
And it was around the time of Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm. And we were all like, hey, they all got tattoos of nine for the nine. And we should do something to commemorate that.
Yep.
So we did. And we found Tialindo, which mm-hmm. is Elvish in the Tengwar script mm-hmm. for player. Mm-hmm. And it was, we extrapolated that to a player as a gamer. Mm-hmm. Which the movie was about, and a player as Shakespearean players are actors, and so it seemed like the perfect word. It was mm-hmm. it was a nice, small, you know, concise set of runic symbols, and the tattoo artist was super cool and came out to Jen Page's old house.
Oh, right,
where we had the rap party,
right,
and so the principal cast gathered early, and Nathan, Brian, Jen, Christian, myself, Don Early, Matt Vansell all got mm-hmm. tattoos of that in various locations. Mm-hmm. Nathan and Brian have them on their back above their shoulder blade. And I am not going to tell the story of why they are mottled and somewhat light in their appearance. You can ask either of them how much of a bitch they were under the needle. Jen Page went first, and everybody was there to support Jen, and that was awesome. And then I think Nathan was next, and I was there supporting him. And then Brian was next, and I was there supporting him. And then Don got his.
I see where this is going.
Matt got his. And then I was looking at it, and because of a couple other ones, that particular tattoo is rather small on my arm. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm big burly tattoo man. I need to have something bigger. So Nathan went and found the closest he could get to Bard, mm-hmm. printed it out so that we had the script, and put it right in the middle of my calf, which was stupid because now I can't put anything else there mm-hmm. of any decent size.
You could do some filigree around it or some Celtic knotwork around it.
Yeah, or just black it out. I really want a tiki god. That's what I really want on my calf.
You just want to get stuck in Mike Brady's tire.
That's true.
You'll be his good luck golem.
I do. So that is the most visible. The others are on my two shoulders mm-hmm. and my back. Left shoulder has theater mask skulls, and that was my first tattoo. And when you were saying Vivine, I got that confused with Madame Lazanga, who is also at Pike Place Market.
Mm.
And
I heard Garfield loves her.
Her understudy.
Right.
Did my first tattoo.
Not Doug.
Erica, spelled exactly the same as my then wife's name.
Mm.
So we went to the Ink and Iron Ball, mm-hmm. Third Expo in Tacoma, mm-hmm. which is sponsored by the Hells Angels. Mm-hmm. There were about 100... ink and piercing booths.
I just keep hearing Inkin.
Inkin.
Inkin piercing booths. So it's like huge hoop earrings I-N-C-A-N. And they chop off your head.
Inkin.
And yeah.
Yes. Ink and piercing booths. Piercing and ink booths. So I went around and looked at all of them, and this Erica gal and I had struck up a rapport, and she seemed really cool, and I was like, because at the time I thought everybody freehanded everything, and I mm-hmm. said, are you really good with the skulls? Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, leave that with me and come back in 15 minutes and I'll
have something for you. Yeah.
So I did, and then that's when I learned that they transfer
right.
them onto you.
Right.
And I sat there, and it was about an hour. Mm-hmm. And it looks pretty good.
Yeah.
To
this day, yeah.
And I was like, psh, that was nothing. Yeah. So a little while later, I found a really cool Harley Davidson flaming skull. Mm-hmm. And it was on a piece of woman's apparel. Mm-hmm. And I was buying a shirt and a helmet, I think. And I took the shirt up and I asked the gal behind the register, I said, do you have a photocopy machine? She's like, yeah. I said, do you think you could copy this skull? Sure, why? I said, well, I want to get a tattoo and I'm not a lady because it's a lady's t-shirt. She's like, oh, that's cool. Hell yeah. So she goes and she copies it in various sizes and everything. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, cool, thanks. So I did that. And then I thought, oh, I want a band. I want a flaming tribal mm-hmm. flame armband.
See, Chris didn't ask about my other tattoos, and I know where this one's going to.
So, it is in a couple places not complete, nor will it ever be complete.
Mine's complete.
Because I did not cry, but when it gets to the back of your arm mm-hmm. and the underarm, mm-hmm. that is an area that is not normally abraded by cloth. And the
you can feel it in your spine, in the bottoms of your feet.
Yep.
You can feel it inside your skull.
Yep.
So I found the secret to that. I found the secret to that because, as you know, I've got the all the way around, right? The dragon. And the secret is Johnny Cash. Because ain't no one not going to be a man when Johnny Cash is playing.
Yeah.
So.
I just looked and I was, and she had me do it a weird way. I was sitting down and I had to sit on my hand to turn my arm around so mm-hmm. that she had a place to work. And I'm just looking at her. I'm like, does this hurt this bad for everybody? She's like, oh yeah, I've seen bikers cry. And I'm like, I'm not going to cry. And I didn't.
The one
time.
I'm
very proud of myself.
The one time. Stassi Brown didn't
I
cry.
I didn't cry. And then on my back, I have a rather large set of Celtic wings. Mm-hmm. I was working at a print shop, and I did the outline mm-hmm. of what's on my back based off of inspiration on one of my Harley shirts. Yeah, I went through a period. It's one of my emails, Harley Big Dog, because the only two apparel brands that I was wearing at the time was Harley Davidson and Big Dog. Those were the only shirts that I had in my possession.
Nice.
So I kind of drew this thing out and then went back to the shop and I was experimenting and I printed it out and I was like, whoa, there's like a face and wings and this is cool and I'm going to have this done. So I did that. And then I was working at a rubber stamp and ink scrapbooking company.
Of course you were.
Yeah. And of course you were. I was hired to do the website and instead was in charge of the newsletter. Because I know everything about scrapbooking and rubber stamp padding and all of that stuff. But one of the other jobs I had was we would buy 2-page spreads in the crafting magazines.
Oh.
And then we would sponsor those and then go to our suppliers and say, hey, you want to buy in on an 8th page ad or something like that because they didn't offer it. So there was a wonderful Celtic artist down in California, and I was just like, hey, I've got this crazy, crazy idea. Mm-hmm. I have this on my back, and I'd like to get it filled with something Celtic, but I don't know what.
Mm-hmm.
Had one of my very homophobic workmates take a picture of my back. It took about 30 minutes of persuasion to tell him I wasn't propositioning him. And he took the picture, I sent it down, and she immediately replied back, oh my God, hold on, and sent me all the work mm-hmm. and said, for $50, I'll do all the over-under and make sure it's a mirror image.
Mm-hmm.
And I said,
yes.
Done. Yeah. Check is in the mail.
Right.
So I sent that down, got this. Previously, the tattoo artist who had done everything but the Tengwar script was mm-hmm. this Erica gal.
Right.
When I got divorced,
you couldn't go to her anymore because her name was the same.
Yeah, well, she didn't return my calls. Don't know why.
Was this the same Erica? Or are you hallucinating?
No, it was two different Ericas.
All right. Well, they're in a club, obviously.
Yeah, because Erica, my ex, was getting tattooed by her as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because I did her website, she took almost all of my time in her tattoos.
Mm.
But anyway, so she did like the left third of the back.
Right.
And the outline was about an hour, and the left third was about 7 hours in the chair.
Right.
On two occasions. Mm-hmm. 1 hour and 7 hours. Mm-hmm. And then she's not talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine. I do One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest as R.P. McMurphy said, mm-hmm. R.P. ain't going to have a half-finished tattoo on his back.
Right.
I got to go find somebody.
Right.
So a friend of mine introduced me to Suzanne, who is now my tattoo artist.
Mm-hmm.
She has a shop in Monroe and down on Steamboat Island, south of Olympia.
Mm-hmm.
And went down there, and in 4 hours, she finished the 2/3.
Wow.
And went back and fixed the first third.
Nice.
To make it all.
Yeah.
And I had to, Erica would not give me back the artwork, so I had to piecemeal. So she was piecemealing this whole thing together from other pictures, and it's amazing.
Wow.
And it's almost done. I have Cry Havoc and Let Slip the Dogs of War. Took me a year and a half to get it translated appropriately in Gaelic. If you ever want to have a tattoo translated into Gaelic, do not tell them it's for a tattoo. Because there's a whole lot of people that have religious objections to that and will not translate no matter how cool it is. And everybody agreed it was really cool, but because I said, I'm having a tattoo, it cut off most of the really big scholars. And
right.
So, and then I have a Celtic skull that will go below that. So, yes, I will have a tramp stamp.
Excellent.
Yeah. So, that took quite a while.
Quite a while.
Sorry.
All right.
But
so,
you asked, is there a story? And, well, when there's a story, that's what Andy and I do. We tell stories.
We tell stories. That's what we do. So, Seth Davis and Gordon Duke on two separate channels. Seth on Facebook and Gordon on Twitter asked us,
what does the fox say?
What does the fox say? And I think there's only one valid answer to that, and it's that's the one we chose.
If you haven't seen the video, it's on Andy's Facebook, and it is disturbing and stupid.
It's so great
and great.
Yeah,
it's almost as good as the Rubber Bandits, but not quite.
Well, this is so different.
Yeah, so different.
Because I don't think fish say blub.
I don't either.
And elephants go toot?
No.
And the elephant says, Garu, he most certainly does not.
And the horse communicates versus horse.
Oh, my God. Yeah, check it out.
There's some weird shit on there.
All right, I got to ramp up for this one a little bit.
Cats doo-doo meow, though.
Cats doo-doo meow? Gross.
Yeah. And the last question,
damn it, Brophy,
thus far, from our illustrious friend Thomas Brophy,
who always likes one to and stir only. Up the pot,
fucking New York Yankees and Dallas Cowboy loving motherfucker
He's from Jersey.
I don't give two shits. He's in Seattle now.
Hey,
fuck those teams.
Hey, he's from Paramus. What are you gonna do?
He ain't from Paramus. He's from like Exit 73.
He's from near Paramus. He's from Exit 73. You don't know from fucking Exit 73. I'll tell you that much.
So much better than Exit 72, though, I'll tell you.
Exit 57. That's
forget about it.
Yeah.
Chicago.
All right.
Whatever.
Evergreen State Parkway. I found out. Found out. Because I called it the Paramus Parkway, because that's what it used to be called in the 70s. And now it's...
Now it's the Evergreen State Parkway?
Yeah, apparently.
Why we sound like we're from Boston? Because we got to kick his fucking Jersey ass. That's why. Wicked kick it. Kick it wicked.
I don't want to do Boston.
Sticky wicked.
You got to use two words. I actually have tried to completely remove from my vocabulary the F and the R. And you got to use that if you're doing Boston.
What? The F and the R.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Pak the Khan, Havid Yad.
No, there's...
There you go, it's Boston.
There's one that sounds like restarted.
Oh, wicked.
Yeah, restarted. And,
right.
And then...
Wicked restarted.
And then...
See, we could do that.
Wicked restarted. This podcast is wicked restarted. No, I mean, turn it over. Start it over. Come on.
We almost did. Yeah.
Yeah, we did almost start it over.
Yeah, just hit stop, go back, refresh the page, start it over.
I am the knight.
And, okay, so what's the...
I'm the fucking knight. I am wicked awesome. Joker.
I think it just spiked.
I don't know. Yeah, I probably...
What's the other one? I got that one right. I mean, now, and I understand, and yeah, you can't say that one.
Right, it sounds like kind of like forget. Like, you can't...
You can't forget about it?
Yeah, you can forget about it. You just can't...
Fuck it?
No, it's not fuck, dude. I'll say fuck all day.
I know.
it's the derogatory term for gay that they use for everybody.
Oh, you mean a bundle of sticks?
Yeah, that one.
Or a World War II cigarette
and I
from
just not,
someone
I'm trying
in the
not
UK.
To. I'm trying not to. I'm trying to be a good person in my heart.
I understand that.
In my heart, trying to be good.
But, you know, there's a lot of Bostonians that don't say that. They just call them men in comfortable shoes.
I was going to say clergy, but that wouldn't work.
No.
No.
Oh, God. Oh, it would work in Boston.
Yeah. But, all right. Okay, moving on, moving on, moving on, moving on, moving on, moving on, moving on. Brophy, pot stirrer that he is, asks us, what do we think, having come off of PAX, which I was not at, of the Dick Wolf's controversy, which I did get involved in a little bit. So, for those of you not in the know,
like me,
Monday night, this is after our screening and all of that jazz, which is really good because I have a feeling Ben would have pulled the screening, honestly.
Yeah.
Monday night, Mike Krahulik was asked, he was asked, or they were asking questions of Robert Koo on stage. Robert Koo is the business manager for Penny Arcade.
Okay.
And Robert asked them, have I made any decisions that you wish I hadn't or you wish you could take back? And his response was, yeah, I wouldn't have pulled the Dick Wolf's merchandise from the store. To a bunch of cheers, right? Now, if you don't know the older controversy, there is a comic that Penny Arcade did. Now, the intent of the comic is not the controversy in any way. Because the intent of the comic was, heroism in MMOs makes no sense. Because you'll save like five people, and there are hundreds more, but you're done because you made your quest goal.
Right.
You've saved five and you're done. You're out. So in this comic, this peasant, or it's a slave in a mine,
mm-hmm.
says that every night we are raped to sleep by the Dick Wolves, trying to make a case for please save us. And the guy's like, I don't fucking care. I've already saved five of you. That's all I'm done. So the huge firestorm that came out of that was, what the fuck? You know, it's a gigantic rape joke. And
but
it, no, it was a gigantic rape joke, but that wasn't the point of the comic, which, because I know where you're going on this, which means they could have swapped it out with something else. It could have been, you know, whipped to sleep softly by the, you know, by the torture wolves or something.
Sure.
And it would have made, and the joke would have made the same sense.
Right.
Now, they made them, they printed it. That's, again, not really the issue. If they would have just been like, sorry, you know, that it was a different joke. We're sorry, our sense of humor is different than yours. That's the end of it. Or if they would have, you know, they could have apologized and said, you know, we're leaving it up, but we understand and we're sorry for people who are victims and who are triggered by that stuff, you know. But they instead, what they did is said, you guys are trying to censor us, which, no, that never happened. That's nobody but them has the power to take that comic offline.
Right.
So they got into this big tirade and they went on the defensive. And so instead of defending the real joke, they started defending the rape.
Right.
That's where the mistake came in. That was the big flashing fucking like up in the lights, you know, fucking opening night problem right there. Was that they started defending the rape, not... So, then of course, a bunch of these fucking, like, douchey nerd trolls came out in super support, bought up Dick Wolf shirts, and started making Team Dick Wolf, which was... And they did this whole Twitter thing about, we'll rape you if you're at a con... I'm not even kidding, dude. This happened, right? So, what these guys did... What Mike and Jerry did by not actively saying, whoa, okay, it's gone too far. Fuck you guys. This is stupid. In the name of what they thought was fighting censorship, which it wasn't. Again, nobody can censor them. Like, it's their fucking site. In the name of this whole censorship thing, they kept throwing fuel on this fire and they kept empowering these dudes to essentially threaten people with rape.
Yeah. Right?
So anyway, it all died out finally, a little bit. Like, it kind of died out.
Mm-hmm.
There have been other issues. Mike Krahulik got into some trouble for telling transgender people that they're wrong, which is, you know, I mean, there's the argument about biological gender,
mm-hmm.
and that in no way is associated to identified gender.
Right.
And so he was trying to make that he was taking, he got backed into a corner and was losing and resorted to being a dick. So he basically said, you know, if you've got a penis, you're a man. That's the end of the story. And he really hurt one of his own friends, actually, who was transgender. So really kind of fucked up. Then on Monday, he does this thing. Firestorm starts again. People freak out. People leave packs. Major publishers now are pulling out of packs.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes off with another apology. And so where I stand on this is I am sick of this guy apologizing. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of detractors also trying to take a high horse when there's really no horse to take.
Yeah.
In that this is a site that's built around offending people, and so it's going to offend people. You don't have to go to it. You don't have to read it. You don't have to support it. That's where you can end. You don't have to send anybody death threats, and people were sending Mike Krahulik death threats, which is mm-hmm. bullshit. But Mike fucking gets all psycho about it and starts what he does, which is getting back into a corner and being an asshole. And then he comes with the apology. And I'm just done with the Ike Turner-ness of it all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done with, I fucked up, here's an apology, 3 days after I fucking just went nuts on Twitter and got really pissed off and spouted vitriol. I'm not saying, like the original comic, I think it's sad because the intent of it is missed by so many people. And they could have actually, just like, if they would have just let it go, just mm-hmm. let it go, it would have been like one of those comics that's like, well, you know, it opens a discussion. That's a comic that opens a discussion. If right. you're not being an asshole, it opens a discussion. It's like, okay, is this an appropriate way to use rape? Because it's using rape as a huge negative. Obviously, it's not a good thing. They're not saying rape is great in the comic.
Right.
They're saying it's horrible and it's horrifying. And you should be horrified that this hero's giving up after five people. Yes. Right. So it actually could have opened a dialogue. I'm not saying that it's not going to trigger people. People are going to be really upset about that. And sadly, there is definitely a bias toward females in that particular crime. Yes. A huge bias.
Yes.
And men don't understand that. Men can get raped, but men don't fear rape constantly.
Correct.
So that is a huge, huge difference that I will never understand. And that's why I try so hard to course correct for that, because I will never understand that feeling. You will never understand that feeling. I mean, some men will understand that feeling because they'll be in a prison. They'll be, you know, weaker. And it does happen. There's a name for it. It's situational homosexuality, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with actual sexual orientation. It's just about power and release and stuff like that. And so there are men who do understand it.
Yep.
And they hate rape jokes, you know? So I am all about, like, erring on the side of the victim in this case. Let's make sure that the victims are you know, treated well. No, we don't censor anything. That's a given. This is America. You don't censor shit. But people can be outraged. That is part of freedom of speech, is people are allowed to be outraged. And Mike's take was, your outrage is censorship. That's his bullshit line. And that's what I'm...
Well, what they were outraged, but they were calling for him to take it down, which is censorship.
No, it is not censorship.
Yes, it is.
No, calling for someone to take something down is not censorship.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. Forcefully. Them. No, you haven't.
Yes, you have.
Forcefully taking something down is censorship. Calling for something to be taken down is not censorship.
Calling
for something to be taken down is the basis of protest. It is not censorship. Taking it down forcefully against the will of someone, that's censorship. Even someone taking down their own art when they realize it's offensive isn't censorship. Censorship is an act of taking someone else's art down without their consent because it offends you. It is a very clearly defined thing. Outrage.
I would argue against it.
And you are wrong.
I'm not wrong. It's my opinion, and opinions aren't wrong. Just like Mike's opinion is not wrong. It's his opinion, and it's my opinion that censorship of any kind with
how
people
is it
saying It is the same way. It's the same as boycotting. It's bullying someone into doing something that they don't want to do for fear of repercussions of other things. Just as the douche knobs that were doing the same thing in support of Krahulik, throwing that vitriol back on the people, the other people are calling for them to take it down and that's wrong and blah, blah, blah. Instead of having a discussion on both sides, everyone turned into a dick.
But nothing you're saying is censorship. There's assault. Assault is in there. By definition,
right.
Assault is in there. Threatening someone with bodily harm is assault. That is in there. There is no censorship in here. It's a fact. It's a definition.
It's not.
It's a fucking definition. It's a fact.
It's not a definition.
It is.
There is a definition of what censorship is.
Uh-huh.
The government coming in and saying, you can't say this, and redacting things and whatever. Fine. I'm saying, for me, and my moral compass, mm-hmm. and how I would feel if someone did that, they're trying to censor me. They are trying to, without my permission, without my want, without my desire, force me through coercion, boycotting, assault, whatever you want to call it, to do something that I don't want to do, and I have to give in to the mountain of pressure that they're trying to give to me. I would argue that that is censorship, because it is being taken down against his will, but he feels that he has to, because the negativity, if he doesn't, outweighs anything else, and that's being put in a bad position.
I just find it funny that you get that fired up over this that never actually happened. It's still up.
Right.
But forcing someone's penis into another human being.
Oh, I think that's awful.
Okay, I am not going to understand your position, because, for one, again,
if people have been raped by dick wolves, I totally get the argument.
Again, I'm talking about the word censorship.
Right.
Does not mean what you think it means. The word censorship is a very strict, there's a legal definition to it.
Right. I'm saying,
you're talking about coercion. You're talking about other things. And you're saying, I feel censored. He never took it down. He never censored anything. There was no censorship.
Right.
So I don't understand what the argument is.
They're trying, through coercion and all those other things,
uh-huh.
to have him take it down. If he takes it down, it is then censorship, because it's against his will. Definition of censorship.
He physically cannot take it down against his will. He owns the site. Now, if it was Games Radar that still owned the site, like they did back in whatever, the Stone Age,
right?
And Games Radar took it down, then there's a total censorship argument. But Mike owns the site. Mike determines when stuff gets removed. The only time they have ever removed a comic was when American Greetings sued them, or cease and desisted them, they see indeed them, over a Strawberry Shortcake comic. That, I would say, is gray censorship. Because they still made the choice. They didn't want to go into a lawsuit over mm-hmm. it. They made the choice to take it down. They didn't have to.
Right.
Ultimately, but they made the choice to take it down due to the coercion of a major corporation with a financial backing to, you know, to do it.
Right.
So that little, I would argue there are arguments for and against that being censorship. And I would probably sit more on the for side,
mm-hmm.
right? But they didn't control the content in that case, because the content is owned by another company.
Right.
So there was more at work basically getting them to take it down against their will. This one, they controlled the content, they controlled the distribution, they never took it down. So him feeling like he might be censored is not a real feeling, because he knows damn well he controls when that thing goes up, when it comes down, whatever. What he was feeling is the problem with the Penny Arcade guys, and I don't want to down on the guys too much, because I really do think they are getting better. as people. They're learning a lot about people that were outside of their scope.
Right.
Some people never do. Some people, they just stay too small. They never get the kind of exposure these guys get. Now they're dealing with what do we do when we have this exposure, but we want to be offensive?
Right.
Right. And it's a really crazy line to walk, and they've learned a lot from it. They've learned, they've used it for a lot of good, but in this particular case, I really can't see from his side. What he was feeling was, when we were starting out, we got bullied, and we had to stand up to it. Okay. The problem is now they're the 600-pound gorilla.
Right.
And they're offending people, but they're acting like they're still that like little indie niche comic that doesn't have any following. So they're still reacting that way. They're still reacting by puffing up, not realizing that when they puff up, they now look like an 800-pound gorilla with blood on its teeth and like it's going to rampage.
Right.
So it actually makes them look much worse to engage like this.
Right.
If they would have just roped it back, not said anything, you know. And then the panel, it was just a dumb move. It was just stupid on his part to bring it up again.
Totally.
Again,
for the record, I'm not condoning rape.
No, I know.
And I'm not supporting them. I'm just tired of everyone lashing out because someone has an opinion that they're evil. The opinion's bad. Maybe uneducated. Maybe uninformed.
No, that's fine, and that's but then everybody that viewpoint entirely.
But then everybody just goes back and forth, and it just every side then becomes awful people.
Oh, and every side in this is wrong in some way. Side in this is wrong in some way.
Right.
It's been handled so poorly by all sides. People just blanketing, you know, like, well, fuck you guys, I'm never coming back again, and not really addressing why. I mean, there's like, okay. If you're not coming back again because you feel that Penny Arcade supports rape culture, that's your thesis.
Right.
Right? So explain that and let's, you know, and let's have a dialogue about it. Because because maybe they don't understand that they're supporting rape culture. A lot of people don't understand that when you, like, if you're in a room with someone who's telling a rape joke and you don't find it funny and you don't find it offensive, but you also don't say anything, they think you're in on the joke. They think you get it. So that's the concept of like supporting rape culture through non-action. Maybe these guys just need to know about that. Maybe they just need to be educated. And maybe they do put their fingers in their ears. That's a thing that people do.
Yeah.
They don't want to, you know, they don't want to be proven wrong. Nobody wants to be proven wrong. It feels like shit.
Yeah.
So
like the whole censorship thing.
Sorry, buddy. I think that there's a teachable moment in here for sure.
Yeah.
And you're giving up on you're giving up on all the good too. Child's Play, no matter how you look at it, has earned tens of millions of dollars for children's hospitals and giving toys to sick kids, right? Is that an excuse? Like that is it so bad that money comes from someone who maybe kind of supports a culture that you're not? It's still helping out, you know, sick kids. Don't read the comic.
Yeah.
You know, don't read the comic. Penny Arcade Expo is bigger than Mike and Jerry now anyway.
Oh.
Their name is all over it, but dude, they could change it to, they could take Penny Arcade out of the name entirely and just call, it is now called PAX. Has nothing to do with Penny Arcade anymore. It is just called PAX, right? People would still go. It would still be huge, even if those two didn't show up.
Yeah.
Okay, that's where it's at now.
Do they even show up?
Yeah, they do. Oh. They do, but I have a feeling, I mean, they're so separated from that animal now.
Yeah.
PAX is so different than Penny Arcade. And PAX itself tries very hard to be a very conscious con. I believe that a lot of the people who work there, like, take that responsibility.
Yeah.
There are currently going to be problems at cons because there are currently a lot of fucking dickheads.
Yep.
there are a lot of fucking dickheads out there. And cons, the problem is their worlds are being encroached upon. Their worlds are being encroached upon, and instead of being welcoming, they're being protective. And they're being protective in the only way they know how, which is to be fucking sniveling dick children.
Yep.
Okay? These fucking mouth-breathing shitheads don't know how to be social, especially with girls. So they're crying and whining that these fake geek girls are coming in and taking all over our these jocks are coming in and taking over video games. Yeah, you know what? You know what drives everything? Money.
Money.
They're paying for games now.
And you should be happy that you're not in your mom's basement in the dark. The light's been shined on and everyone's like, oh, wow, this is cool.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, quit fucking masturbating to your Kirby plushie. Step out into the sun once in a while and fucking enjoy the fact that now video games are a real art form.
Yeah.
That are finally fucking bringing in real writers that tackle, you know, because, I mean, I don't want every game to be feminist just as much as I don't want every game to be a fucking masculine, you know.
Grand Theft Auto?
Yeah, exactly. I don't want every game to be that.
Yeah.
I think that there is room for the scope of worldviews in games. I want games that are just completely fucking brain dead, too.
You know?
I like
Plants vs. Zombies.
Yeah, you find me a message in that about any kind of, like, you know, negative fucking social issue, and I'll shake your
Except
hand.
Except hillbillies can't talk.
Okay, well, congratulations. Great, you've ruined that game for me now. I can't play it anymore because it is disenfranchising the Southern poor.
Good job.
So,
with a pot on.
God damn it, Brophy. Why do you keep doing these?
Yeah, we're not. We are no longer taking political suggestions.
So I guess it comes down to, you know, don't be a dick to people, and don't fucking kick a hornet's nest after it's settled down. I mean, just don't do it. It's stupid. And your apologies sound like paper thin when they're issued so readily after so many incidents.
Yeah.
So.
My thing is, we're all human.
True.
I want to Rodney King the fuck out of this, and why can't we all just get along? Some people need to realize there are some dumb fuckers out there, and you need to give them a little grace, and you just need to go, hey, did you realize you were doing this? And the dumb fucker needs to go, yes or no, and deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
But
again, opening a dialogue versus opening a barrage.
Right, because I knew nothing about this.
Mm-hmm.
I knew Ben was upset for whatever reason about Penny Arcade and this, that, and the other thing. It doesn't even enter my stratosphere.
Right. And it doesn't enter very many people's stratosphere.
But yet it has now because all of this stuff is going on. And like you said, all for the wrong reasons on both sides instead of it being a constructive piece. And I think everyone just needs to chill out on both sides and just everyone's being militant. Everyone's being protective. Everyone's wounded and defensive, and I get that. Breathe.
And ask yourself.
Educate.
What does the fox say?
What does the fox say? Ahee, ahee, ahee.
Ahee, ahee, ahee.
Fuck. Or blub, we're not sure.
Blub, yeah.
Blub, blub. Oh, yeah, because he does have the accent.
He's got the accent, right.
For many of the passages, it's pretty darn good English.
Oh, no, it's very good English.
And it's like,
yeah.
Where did that come from?
Yes. All right, well, I guess that about wraps up this heated episode of Two Bards, number 23. It's got to be heated.
It has to be.
It's got some sex magic in
it. That's 23 degrees Celsius does, or maybe Kelvin, Seth. Find out if 23 degrees in some form of measure does something. Like liquefies or gasifies or melts or something.
Part of my brain wants to say that 23 was a sacred number in like the Aleister Crowley numerology.
Airship Daedalus, check it out.
Hi, Mr. Crowley!
Nice segue.
Yeah. So Neil deGrasse Tyson,
if you're listening
and not too offended
and don't want to talk about packs
or dick wolves
or anything else,
we'll talk about Aleister Crowley.
Yeah,
yeah,
we'll
do
talk
that.
About that.
But if you do want to talk about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle pies,
can we talk about Dark Stars?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Please come on our podcast.